The Rothko Chapel, Houston. Mark Rothko was born Markus Rothkowitz in Latvia, then part of Russia, in 1903. In 1918, like many Jewish families, he moved with his parents to the United States, settling in Portland, Oregon. He began painting in his 20s, initially creating fairly traditional figurative works. But it was in the late 1940s that his art developed into what we now know as his signature genre: abstract paintings composed of largely irregular rectangles of colour that seem to float on the canvas. I first came upon Rothko's paintings at the Tate Gallery in London. At the end of the 1950s, Rothko had been commissioned by the Seagram Company to provide a series of murals to decorate the walls of the Four Seasons restaurant on Park Avenue in New York. He completed the murals, great swathes of deep reds and blacks, but became sure that he didn't want his works to grace the walls of a fine dining restaurant full of wealthy people. So he cancelled the commission, sent the money back, and donated the paintings to three galleries around the world, including a major gift to the Tate in London. He was right, of course, that these paintings are too good, too deep, too spiritual to sit as wallpaper for the walls of a high-end restaurant. They now sit instead in their own room in Tate Modern, and you can go and see and look and contemplate. It is indeed deep contemplation that is invited by a late Rothko painting. What might seem at first sight a slab of unmediated colour becomes, as you look at it intently, a varied, gradually changing and modulating, intense exploration of colour and the way it relates to our emotions. A few years after the Seagram murals, Rothko was commissioned by John and Dominique de Menil to decorate a non-denominational chapel in Houston, Texas. It has been known ever since as the Rothko Chapel. It took him 6 years to complete, through the mid to late 60s, and is his last and greatest major cluster of work. The chapel has no side windows and is lit from a central cupola above. Inside are 14 large paintings, predominantly in black and mauve. It has become a place of pilgrimage. I made my own pilgrimage back in the mid-1970s as a student travelling around America. I remember it was a sunny afternoon and we were completely alone in this astonishing space. At first, the paintings surround you with a compelling vision of darkness. But then, as you sit and look at them, and as the afternoon light drawn in through the cupola gradually moves and changes, the light and shade falling over the dark surfaces, you begin to see how they aren't unremittingly dark at all. They have movement and variation and subtlety and depth within themselves. They draw you in. Rothko himself said, "If people want sacred experiences, they will find them here. If they want profane experiences, they'll find them too. I take no sides." And it is true that Rothko's great abstract paintings, even here at Houston, are not overtly religious at all, though there is an acknowledgement of sorts to the Christian format of the triptych. But the paintings are deeply spiritual. They speak directly to the soul of humankind in a way few other artists have achieved. In drawing us in, they take us to somewhere transcendent, a place where we see far beneath the surface of things. Rothko himself committed suicide in New York in 1970, at the age of 66. He never saw the finished chapel. Perhaps in his increasing use of blacks and greys and deep mauves, in his exploration of the dark as well as the light of life, he was creating something of an epitaph. But mainly, I believe, he was seeking the full depths of human feeling in all its joy and sadness, in all its humanness and its yearning to reach out and touch the divine. As I sat for over an hour there in the chapel on a sunlit afternoon in 1976, it was almost unbearably moving. At the opening of the chapel in 1971, Dominique de Menil said, "We are cluttered with images, and only abstract art can bring us to the threshold of the divine." She saw very clearly what a remarkable place Rothko had created. There's a wonderful line of Wordsworth in his poem Tintern Abbey, where he writes, "We are laid asleep in body and become a living soul, while with an eye made quiet by the power of harmony and the deep power of joy, we see into the life of things." I truly believe that with Rothko's greatest works, and these in Houston are undoubtedly amongst them, we are indeed led to see into the life of things. It is a profoundly spiritual journey.